Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Tuesday, August 11th, Testimony Tuesday. How does that sound? Today I'm going to share a testimony with you at the end of the podcast that I saw on Instagram by Scotty Scheffler that is a great reminder for us that we should be a people who invite others to church, and also recognizing that the Holy Spirit is at work at all times. How are you coming along on learning the Ten Commandments? Maybe you know them already. Tell me, which is the eighth commandment? Do you know it? You shall not steal. I mentioned to you that I have hand signals to remember each of the commandments. For this one, you tuck in your thumbs and you have four fingers from each hand raised to the sky, and you place them in front of your eyes as though they are bars in prison. If you steal, you may end up in prison is what I think about. So number eight is you shall not steal. I'd love to say more about that one today, but I'm going to save the time at the end for the testimony. In Exodus chapter 38, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 9 today. This is about the altar of burnt offering, the basin for washing, and a little snippet about the courtyard. You'll notice that on the altar, there are these horns that are described. The horns are on the four corners, and they have a practical function and a symbolic significance. In Psalm 118, there's a verse that talks about binding the festal sacrifice to the horn. So basically, tying off the sacrifice on the horn of the altar so that it can't leave, that it can't move. That's the practical function. There's also the symbolic function of a horn, which symbolizes strength and refuge and atonement. It is a place where we, desperate people, cling for forgiveness. Starting in verse 1, they built the altar of burnt offering of acacia wood, 3 cubits high. It was square, 5 cubits long, and 5 cubits wide. They made a horn at each of the four corners, so that the horns and the altar were of one piece. And they overlaid the altar with bronze. They made all its utensils of bronze, its pots, shovels, sprinkling bowls, meat forks, and fire pans. They made a grating for the altar, a bronze network to be put under its ledge, halfway up the altar. They cast bronze rings to hold the poles for the four corners of the bronze grating. They made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with bronze. They inserted the poles into the rings so they would be on the sides of the altar for carrying it. They made it hollow out of boards. They made the bronze basin and its bronze stand from the mirrors of the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Next, they made the courtyard. The south side was 100 cubits long and had curtains of finely twisted linen. In tomorrow's reading, we'll learn more about the priestly garments that the priest wore in the tabernacle. Let's move on over to the Psalms. Today we're in Psalm 31. I don't know if you're someone who writes in your Bible, but in my favorite Bible, I have a lot of notes. And this Psalm is filled in the margin with prayers to the Lord. There's also underlining and circling. And in other words, this is a very meaningful Psalm to me. It is a Psalm that I prayed a lot. Someone I love dearly had veered from the path of faithfulness, and the evil one was devouring. I'm so grateful that I can look back and see how the Lord worked, even in situations where I didn't know if there was a potential positive outcome. Psalm 31. I'm going to start in verse 2 and skip around a bit. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Verse 9. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish, and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak. Verse 14. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Verse 22. In my alarm, I said, I am cut off from your sight. Yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. Love the Lord, all you saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. As promised, I want to share a testimony with you on Testimony Tuesday. But first, let's pray together. Father, thank you for your beautiful Word and for these beautiful people that are listening alongside. As we think about the way that you crafted the tabernacle, we are thankful, Lord, that you prepared a place where we could seek atonement and where the sinner could be forgiven. We thank you that that points us forward to the once and for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you that we don't have to come again and again with blood sacrifices, but we trust in the sacrifice and the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the Psalms. Thank you, Lord, for your faithful love. Thank you for the reminders of the ways that you work, even when we don't know how things are going to work out. Bless and keep my brothers and sisters today. We lift our hearts to you and those in our fellowship, in our friend group, in our family, who need an extra special touch from you. O great shepherd of the sheep, you who are able to keep us from falling and to present us before your glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God and Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
I end up going to school, and at home, you're in this like protected little bubble where everything's kind of taken care of. You know, you got your friends, I go to the golf course, I play my sports, I do my schoolwork, everything's pretty simple. And all of a sudden, I get to college, and I'm like, holy smokes, this is a totally different ballgame. You know, I'm at this big place, I don't really know anybody, I don't really know why I'm here, why I wanted to get here so bad, I don't really understand the purpose. My wife, now Meredith, we dated in high school, and we broke up because we were going to different schools. A couple weeks into college, I run into one of her friends on campus, and she invites me to church. And I was like, yeah, I did it. And, you know, it's probably the right thing to do. I should probably say yes. You know, I probably wouldn't be a very good guy if I was turning down church, you know. I went to church, and I've heard for the first time really who Jesus was. And, like, sitting there, it was at Austin Stone, I'm watching the sermon, and I had no idea who Jesus was, what he'd done for us. I thought of God as this faraway person, or kind of like this overseer that, you know, cared about us and kind of made rules and made decisions. But overall, you know, it was way out there, and he was kind of just looking down on us down here. And then that winter, I came to the retreat here. Marcus invited me. I told him I was going to come. Didn't show up, probably. And then, you know, second day, I think he probably called me, held me accountable, and I showed up. And I didn't understand really exactly what sin was. I didn't understand how sinful my heart was and really how much I needed a Savior, and I heard it for the first time. And so after that, I felt like I'm always gradually giving up different parts of my life to Christ. Like, I feel like each day I'm trying to surrender something new. And so I talk about it more of a gradual journey versus just that one specific moment where it was like, oh, I understand it. It was like God was slowly pulling on my heartstrings for a period of time, and hopefully, still pulling on today.